Welcome to Single Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness, the podcast for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here, we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season for rich and purposeful growth and grace. Join your hosts, Monica Hinderer and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together.
Amazing. I thought in episode two, we should talk about the joy of singleness.
Because
I think for some, it's not very joyful. And for others, there are periods that it doesn't feel very joyful. But I think why should we pursue joyfulness in this? And like, what does that look like? Right. Mm-hmm. Or like, what's the purpose of our singleness? Like that kind of a thing.
I love that this is our second episode and one that we're really launching with, because I think that so many people think that singleness is like sad or lonely, right? Mm-hmm. Or they look at these big V singles, right? These nuns or these numerators, I could never give that up. And what we know is that we're all called to joy, no matter our circumstance in life, that joy is possible wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important to maybe start this podcast that way, because no matter why you're single,
right,
you can have joy.
Absolutely. So Monica, what's one thing from this week that you're joyful about, right? Or that you found joy in?
Mm-hmm. It's funny. This week has been a hard week for me. So maybe that's actually like really good, right? That you're able to find kind of joy. But I think that ironically, I love this time of year where it gets really dark. And I was actually, after a long day of clients, I went to Mass in the evening. So it was already really, really dark. And I was really grateful for that peace and stillness after a long day that brought me. And even to like be with God in that, because the church is darker and even the drive home is dark. And although it was like a really sad and very heavy day and week for me, I think being in that stillness, like grateful for that opportunity brought, you know, this joy, which we'll get into like what that actually means later, but brought a sense of joy.
I love that. It's interesting. There are a couple of parishes by me that I feel are very calm and peaceful, and that I love to go and pray in them, especially like before Mass when it's still dark and they haven't turned on all the lights. And then there are others that I'm like, this doesn't give me as much peace, but I totally feel you there on that. I think
I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
For me this week, we're still in the Christmas season, and one of my favorite things is kind of waking up a little early and doing my prayer, like my morning prayer, by the Christmas tree or by like the nativity scene set up, to just really take the chance to contemplate this great mystery that we just lived through, and to just, I don't know, like just sitting in the glow of the like little twinkle lights around the nativity scene or around the Christmas tree. And, you know, sometimes I'll sit there like sipping coffee and just kind of, you know, like talking to our Lord. To me, that has been a really joyful little part, with the Christmas mug, of course.
Yeah.
That's an essential part of all of it.
Oh, of course. I think, you know what's so interesting? I think a parallel for both of us, it seems, this week was this moment of stillness or silence or solitude, like whatever that kind of really looked like. And that was the opportunity or the vehicle for us to like notice that gratitude or like see that joy. Mm-hmm. Even like in the early hours or the late evenings, and like taking that chance to like step away for a second. So I find that interesting that we both said a similar sentiment there.
I think too, in general, right? Like our Lord doesn't speak in the loud clanging cymbals and all that, right? Like we see that in the Old Testament prophets, that he speaks in the tiny whisper. And so I think it makes sense that for probably many of us, if you're thinking of, you know, what brought you joy this week, probably many of us, it was a moment of stillness or a moment of reflection, or a moment of self-gift. I would guess almost all of us fall into one of those categories. Probably not too many are like, you know, it was the most grateful when I was stuck in traffic, you know, 4 hours late and whatever, trying to get home for the holiday. Like, most part, right? But it's those moments in which we can feel God a little closer that I think often bring us that joy. You know, God is love. God is joy.
Yeah, and I think we'll get into exactly what joy is, because I think that's really important. I run into this a lot with my clients where they confuse joy with happiness. So this is going to be an important episode, right? So take your notebooks out as we all like journal and write together and kind of explore this. But that often if I'm not feeling joyful for whatever reason and I'm feeling really low and things feel really heavy, stepping away into silence, into stillness, into reflection is kind of the only way we're going to be able to see and hear God. And we can see, and it's not that he maybe will speak to us directly, but that he'll show us himself in little things, right? And as actually, as we're recording, it's flurrying outside and I'm like, oh, it's so cute. Like, I love that. And it's the little things, but when life is busy and things are heavy, joy sometimes evades us. And that's just a really good indicator to maybe I need to step back for a second so that I can see it. Like, maybe it's not that it's not there. It might be that I can't hear or see it.
Mm-hmm. I think too, you know, often, I don't remember what book I was reading this in, but basically it was saying like most people, like when they're really trying to, you know, have that conversation with God, need one of three things, if not more than that, but single, like solitude, silence, or stillness. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be really helpful for you to like pray about and think about like, okay, which of those three things do you need? And sometimes I think we often think it's like silence, right? Like that's how we pray, right? And often, like if you sit down to do mental prayer, usually you're in silence and you're sitting there doing it. But that's not always the answer, right? So for me, it's more like solitude.
Interesting.
So I find like, for instance, I prefer to pray, you know, in the chapel when there's no one in there. So that it's me and God, right? Like, and I'm looking at him and he's looking at me. Or I would prefer to pray like hiking a trail by myself. And so that's not stillness. And that's not even actually silence, because you've got the animal sounds, you've got the whatever, but it is solitude. And I find for me, there's a lot of joy there. And there's a lot of like renewal that comes. But I know other people who it's much more, they need stillness, right? They need to really just like,
oh yeah, that's me. But do you know what's funny is, and I've worked on this with like spiritual doctors and therapists and stuff, and just kind of through myself and realizing that like, that's what I'm most resistant to.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I know I'll encounter God. Sometimes I'm like, not today. Oh, it's been so hard. And if I talk to you, I'm going to cry. And, you know, so I think it's kind of an interesting thought exercise to think about, what do I kind of resist a little bit? And like, it's easier for me to like pop a podcast in and go for a walk. And I'm all alone, but I'm not really encountering God that way, because I'm like, la, 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 la. Like, I will say my deepest moments is when I literally sit down and stop and I go to adoration, and it could be packed and I don't even care, but I'm like sitting and doing nothing. And it's like, God is like, you have my undivided attention. And I'm like, great, here's everything, right?
That's funny. And I would be sitting there in adoration if it was packed, being like, Lord, why is that woman wearing that thing? And like, that person's too close to me and I can hear that person breathing loudly. And like, it's not prayerful for me. Like, it's very difficult. And like, I do it, obviously. Like, we do what we have to do. But and I think, you know, that's a good thing as we start this year for people to think, right? Like, what do you need?
Yeah.
Solitude, stillness, silence. And sometimes you need all three, honestly, right? Like,
well, and we all do. We all need a little combination. You know, as someone who your whole life, your career at least, is on social media. You even do social media detoxes. Like, sometimes all of us need to step away, right? Christ does this. He's like, come away with me. Like, let's just, you know, take a chill pill for a second. And so we all need it. We all need a little combination, but there's going to be one that's a sweet spot for you.
Yeah.
And the reason I think Katie and I are really emphasizing this is because this sweet spot is going to be your vehicle towards joy when joy seems harder to find. Some seasons of life, we're in it and we're thriving and we're loving it. And other seasons of life, you know, like when the sun goes down at 4 o'clock, and most of our life is dark. Some of us struggle. And so this is your vehicle towards joy. So why don't you tell our listeners kind of what really the definition of joy is, and what we kind of, how we're going to view it, at least in this kind of perspective here.
Yeah, sure. I would say this is not like a Webster-Merriam dictionary version of joy, but I think joy ultimately comes from our knowledge, but more than knowledge, I think our acceptance of and maybe excitement for being daughters of God.
Yeah.
And what follows from that truth, right? Like, I think that is ultimately big picture where our joy comes from. Now, obviously, yeah. It can come from sitting by the Christmas tree and sitting in silent prayer and whatever, and a great can of Coke or a great cup of coffee with a friend, right? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, we can get joy from those things as well. But I think, you know, big picture for us, it's really living in the identity of a daughter of God and then all that entails.
Yeah.
Like owning that really well.
So our divine filiation.
Totally.
Right. Is that, and I think Father Mike Schmidt is the one who says it. So I'm going to kind of paraphrase and steal from him. But I'm pretty sure he has a video where he describes it just like you do, in the sense of joy is this overarching sense of our divine filiation, right? Or of well-being, knowing that I am loved and cared for and seen by God the Father, and that I can have joy in the deepest suffering and in my lowest moments, because that is always true. Like, joy is like, ultimately, we know we have won. Like, God has already won. The battle is done. Like, he has won, and we are his beloved children, and as such, loved and cared for. So we're okay. And that overarching, like, knowledge, that sense of well-being in God allows us to find joy in the moments.
Mm-hmm.
I think a caveat that I would add to that as kind of a therapist is mental health and the resistance I get from people, and even in my own self, when kind of this concept of joy is that I actually think joy is a practice.
Mm-hmm.
We're never there.
Yeah.
We're always working there, because we're going to have it, and we're going to be like, yeah, I found it here.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be another trial that tests that, or a low moment or something that happens. And so if I can actually adjust this expectation that joy is going to be a forever practice, that I'm going to continuously be working towards and working on and working through, I actually can achieve it, can work with it more than if I think it's always evading me, or the frustration and having to find it again in this new season.
Totally. And I think, I mean, that goes perfectly with this idea of, like, it's so tied to our daughtership, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to God, right? To him being this loving father, this redeeming brother, right?
Yeah.
Because that's a mystery that we're always going to be able to go deeper into, right? That we're always going to be able to dive more into, to understand more deeply, and to make our own more, right?
Okay.
So it's a never-ending journey in this life to really, you know, think about and pray about, like, what does it mean for God to love me so much?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he sent his only son to die for me.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Like, how, mm-hmm. if that's true, which we're saying is true, like, what does that mean for how he sees me, right? What does that mean for my life, for the way that I look at the world? I don't know if any of you are on the Hollow app, but during Advent, they did this Pray 25 challenge, and they had all these different guests come on and talk about things. And if you, hopefully it's still up now, usually they keep these things up, but whether you did or didn't, I think it's super worth going back and listening to day 5, where they bring in this, I think he was a Christian pastor. I don't think he wasn't a Catholic priest. Francis Chan was his name. And he just dives into Ephesians 1. And I listened to it. I listened to it as I was doing dishes. And I was like almost in tears, because he was just, no, it was like so beautiful. He was just so passionate about having people understand how much God loves you. And like that is at the core of everything.
Yeah.
That I was like, dang, like I gotta pray about this again, right? Like,
don't hear that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, you know, and I think that's where the joy comes from, right? Where we can constantly go back and be like, okay, today was a shitty day. Like, it was a not great day, but God loves me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or this coworker said something to me that was super rude. Or I got yelled at by my boss.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or I screwed up this project. But you know what? God still loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't love me any less because this coworker thinks I'm a jerk, or because I got yelled at by my boss, or because I dropped the ball on a huge project.
Mm-hmm.
God loves me infinitely still.
Yeah. And I can hold all of that at the same time. It just takes practice. I can hold that, like, that deep knowing, and like, I'm okay. God loves me. Like, I can have joy in this. I can see this as a lesson and an opportunity while still navigating maybe some of the guilt and shame that popped up. Sure. And, you know, now the frustration that I have to stay late at work and so forth. Yeah. I think probably something that would resonate, and I'm curious about your perspective on this, but as a single person, and I know that other single women have said this, if he loves me, why am I still single? Like, if he could take it away, he can. So why hasn't he? Or like, what I want is so good. And so sometimes the pain of singleness of a recent breakup, or even in a relationship that's not working out or leading towards marriage, or even in like the, gosh, just like the never ending dating, or even in the season of like, I'm tired, I'm taking a break, I'm not dating, but I'm not where I want to be. There can be a lot of sadness there and heaviness and a wrestling, like a reckoning there with God as to why. If you love me, what does that mean?
Right.
And if you love me, but you're still not giving this to me, why? And so it's in that dialogue with God that we can find joy, that we can rediscover what his love of the Father gives to us.
And I think, too, it's asking that question. I think it's good. It's good when we ask those questions. I think often we're afraid to ask those questions because we're like, I'm doubting God. Like, I can't do this. I can't. No, like, it's really good to take these things to our prayer. But I think it's also really important that we know God loves us so much that he wants us in heaven. God doesn't just love us enough to give us goodness on earth. Right? And so I think...
Say that again.
God loves us so much, he wants us in heaven, right? Forever in heaven. He doesn't love us just enough to give us goodness on earth, right? He loves us enough to give us goodness on earth for sure.
Yeah.
But that's not the fullness of it. And I think often when we get caught up in that, you know, and like for me, vocationally single, you know, there are times when you have a vocational crisis and you're like, what the heck, God? Like, what are we doing? Or like, why is this happening? Or what is your plan here? Like, I do not understand.
Right.
But God's plan is that I get to heaven. And so because of that, he gives us crosses. He gives us these things, you know, and he gave his son the cross.
Yeah.
His son took up the cross, right? He could have not. There could have been a different plan. So suffering was part of the plan. Yeah. It wasn't an afterthought, you know?
And I imagine as someone with a vocation to celibacy, and tell me if I'm totally wrong, right? Because this is not my state in life. But I imagine that, like, it is a sacrifice, right? Like, everyone has this, like, biological vocation to marriage, and we can kind of get into, like, what the church teaches about that and so forth. But, like, that I'm giving up this earthly thing for this greater glory and for what God has asked. And now, like, the church or Christ is my spouse, all these things that are, like, so beautiful. And that I'm doing such a big thing here.
Yeah.
That's vocationally so good, right? Spiritually so good. That I imagine when it gets really hard, there is that temptation to be like, where are you? If you loved me and if I was doing this for you, where are you?
Yep. Yeah. I don't remember what saint it is, but probably one of the Therese's, you know, said something like, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so many enemies to God. And I
love the honesty.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I love how honest she is with our Lord, right? But also, like, it's kind of true, right? The ones he's closest to, he sends really big burdens, right? Like, he's closest to his son, like, literally closest to his son, right? Dies on a cross. Horrible.
Yeah.
Christ was closest to the 12 apostles. All of them died horrible, horrible deaths, right? Like,
when you put it that way.
So, you know, I think part of almost, like, we can take joy in the sufferings that come to us.
Because I know that ultimately I am loved, and ultimately as a daughter of God, and then a victory that's already been won, I'm okay.
Right. And that this suffering, this cross that I'm bearing, is going to make me into who God wants me to be.
If I correspond with it.
Correct. Right.
And that's the thing.
I live and correspond with it.
This is why joy is a process. We have to step into this, whether we like it or not, and whether it's comfortable or not. And the beautiful part about a process is I don't always have to be good, and I can step away and then re-enter and try again. All the beautiful things. But that, you know, God's asking us to correspond. And so this is happening, and I can either resist it, say it's not, I don't like it, I don't want it. Or I can say, okay,
right.
I know that I'm going to be okay.
Right.
I correspond with this, because ultimately everything is for your greater glory and for my sanctity.
Right.
So I'm going to choose to find the joy in this. I'm going to choose to accept that even in this low time, this low season, this messiness, or these natural things that come with being single,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't even necessarily have to be sad or bad. It's just like a natural thing that's coming with singleness, that I can choose here, right, to be joyful.
Right. Right. And I think too, like sometimes it helps me at least to look at mm-hmm. some human examples to yeah. understand God. Now, obviously God is so much greater than a human example, right? But we have two nephews who kind of learned to walk this summer. Mm-hmm. And so it was super fun to watch them. They're a month apart. And so it was just really fun. The younger one learned how to walk first. But you know, watching them with their dads, you know, they get up, they, you know, wobble a bunch, they maybe take a step, they fall down. Mm-hmm. And their dads don't immediately scoop them up and be like, no worries, you don't have to walk again.
Yeah.
I have you.
Yeah.
Right? Like that would be a bad dad.
Mm.
Right? And so what does a good dad do? They're like, you got this, man. Try again. Right? And they're there. Maybe they're holding their hands out, you know, enough so that the baby can walk two steps and then catches them. Right? And like, that's God the Father with us, right? Mm-hmm. That he's like, we fall, whether we fall into sin or whether mm-hmm. just stuff is really hard. And he's not turned his back, mm-hmm. but we also actually don't want him to just scoop us up and be like, no worries. Like, we'll just take care of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to do anything. No, yeah. Like part of our freedom and showing God how much we love him is suffering through that, mm-hmm. knowing he has set that in our path mm-hmm. for a reason.
Yeah. Right?
And trying to correspond with the grace that we're given in this moment mm. of our lives.
And this is the universal call to holiness, right? So Catechism of the Catholic Church, point 825 says, all the faithful, whatever their condition or state, though each in his own way, are called by the Lord to the perfection of sanctity by which the Father himself is perfect.
Yeah.
Catechism of the Church, 825.
Yeah. And I mean, this is what Vatican II was all about, right? Mm-hmm. The universal call to holiness. This is what San Jose Maria was all about. This is where, thankfully, the church has moved in these last, you know, 100 years or so, where before it was really, you're only going to be a saint if you're a priest or nun, right? If you're religious,
right.
If you have some kind of consecrated vocation, otherwise, you know, good luck. Hopefully you hit purgatory, maybe, you know, live a good life.
Yeah.
And, you know, but now this universal call, it's like, yo, you, doctor, nurse, garbage truck driver, Amazon delivery person, who I'm very grateful for, you know, what you can be a saint. You single person.
Can be a saint.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And not only can you, you're called to.
It's the expectation.
You're made to be.
Yeah.
Right? A canonizable saint. Now, not all of us are going to be canonized, but all of us should strive for that. Well, okay, one of my favorite things to ask people along these lines. So in my work, I work with a lot of Catholic businesses. And so I often do interviews with people to come up with social media content. And one of my absolute favorite questions to ask is, you know, when you die, if you end up being a canonized saint, what do you want to be the patron of?
I love it.
And this, I'm telling you, take this to your prayer. It's amazing because
write that down.
Like, really, what do you want to be known for?
Mm.
And then live your life that way, right? So, like, I want to be the patron saint of social media. Like, I don't think I'm being canonized. It would be awesome if I was, whatever.
Hey,
but like, that's what I want. Like that, and that's how I'm trying to live my life, right? Like, mm-hmm. I want to be, you know, the Saint Catherine of Siena of the modern world with social media, right? Like, that's what I want.
Katie, that's an excellent segue into, as we wrap up for today, our maybe like takeaway or kind of thought project or for our listeners and even ourselves. So every episode, Katie and I are going to end with kind of maybe a thought exercise or kind of a thing that her and I are going to do. And we encourage you, we welcome you to join us in this. And so as it's January, it's the new year. A lot of people like to set like New Year's resolutions and da-da-da. I don't love that.
I hate them.
And I have started using a word every year of like, okay, I'm going to try to live by this so that it's a continuous thing. And then last year I did something new and I picked a word and I picked a saint to accompany the word and to accompany me so that in my endeavor and my pursuit towards this end, I wasn't alone in it. And so I think what could be really interesting is to choose kind of a word of the year, if you haven't already, and a saint that goes with it. And so, you know, one thought could be, since this episode is on joy and all of us can live joy better, right? And that maybe my word of the year in this singleness and in this vocation is joy. And there are so many saints associated, right? Like,
yeah,
St. Philip Neri, St. Francis of Assisi. Actually, St. Philip Neri is known as the Apostle of Joy. So he's a big one we can go to, right?
Take him.
St. Francis of Assisi, he had a joyful spirit. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, right? She is quoted saying, joy is prayer, joy is strength, joy is love. Therese of Lisieux, right? Finding joy in the small things. And even St. John Bosco, right? Who kind of brought joy to young people through education and God's deep sense of love. So I think it could be interesting to think about what's the word of the year for you and what saint can accompany you on that journey.
Absolutely. We should definitely do that for the podcast and pick one for the podcast.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to do that episode.
Do you know your word and your saint already for this year?
I do.
What are you doing?
I'm doing trust. And it's kind of cliche, right? Trust and Therese of Lisieux. And I will say that I really didn't know much about her, but kind of at the end of last year, I like went through kind of a rough patch where I was just like, God, where are you? And just like really some really low things. And so many people in my life were like, would mention her, or even this really good priest friend, because I needed to use, because of health stuff and like different hosts, and I didn't have a pick. And I had this priest friend reach out, and he was like, hey, like, I have an extra one for you. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be a bother to all these priests and every day at mass. Like, I just really don't. And he goes, well, good news. Like, it has St. Therese on it, and she was known for asking God for what she needed.
Aww.
And I was like, okay. So it was just kind of all of these things. And so as I started kind of like really looking into her, I was like, gosh, she trusted God so much in the little things and in such simple things. And it's just like trusting, just asking and being like, well, he's my dad. Like, of course, he'll give it to me, kind of a feel. And I was like, all right, God, message received loud and clear. I got you. Trust and St. Therese of Lisieux.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. What about you?
I am new to this idea of picking a saint of the year. I have picked a word of the year for, I don't know, 10 years or so. That's always what I do. So my word of the year is attuned, because I just realized I am like a go, 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 go type of person. And I am not very attuned to my own health needs, when my body tries to speak to me, like literally I'll be like, go, 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 go. And then I'll have such a horrible migraine. I like can't function. Mm. And there's no in between for me because I just don't pay to it. So attuned for that, but then also attuned to my employees, to be a better boss, to attune to what they need, to our clients and that kind of a thing. And then, I mean, really big picture, like attuned to, you know, where God is calling me right now in 2025. What is he speaking into my heart? What is he trying to say to me? So that's my word. I'm going to have to pray about my saint and I'll come back next week.
You know, it's interesting. The saint that came to mind, you should pray about it, but the saint that came to mind, and you don't have to use this obviously, but is St. Joseph. Like how attuned to our Lord and to Mary and to their needs and even like to God when God was like, if I got a dream that told me to go somewhere, I would wake up and I would think that was strange and I'd go about my life, right? Obviously, maybe his dream is a little bit different. Sure. Right. In angels. But like the attuned to like, okay, going with like where I'm led and like what other people need. And, you know, anyways, that's just what came to mind. So for our listeners, we would love to hear what your word is and what your saint is. And Katie and I will also do this homework and we will report back for what this podcast is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But message us on social media or something. We'd love to hear kind of what your word and what your saint is for sure. So that's it this week for Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on the journey, remember that God is with you and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Find us on social media and we will talk to you next time. Keep living fully and walking boldly.